Because, yeah, she was a nut job.
You think?
Yeah, she sliced people open and bled them into her bathtub and sloshed around in it because she
wanted to be
young.
So did that actually work?
No, she's dead. she aged and died. Because, no, that was just...
Surprise!
That wasn't magic. That was just disgusting. Surprise, yeah. Or she didn't know the right rituals or something. I mean, she did something wrong, clearly. If there is a way to keep yourself young.
Put that on your waddle and tighten it. Welcome to Nerd Burger, episode 30.
30.
Yeah, how about that?
Our little podcast is growing up.
That's right.
He's now out of college.
He's really an adult now.
He's established himself in his career, and he's about to have a big metabolic change that's going to cause him to get fat and
I was
puffy
just
going
to say, he's starting to get a beer belly.
Yeah.
Metabolism is slowing. That happened to me at episode 27. So I was an early bloomer with my beer gut.
Okay. So how you doing?
You remember.
Yeah. Aw,
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm going okay.
You're going okay?
I'm going okay. I'm doing okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm going okay.
I wanted to say I'm good and I'm doing okay at the same time, so it became I'm going okay.
Well, you know where I was.
Where you were when?
Where I was there up there and up north there, hey.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Although we spent a lot of our time down there in Illinois there.
Jeez.
Whip, whip, whip. Three orange whips.
Orange whip, orange whip. Andy's here.
Hey, Andy.
Hi, guys.
You having headphone problems?
Yes.
I noticed a lot of adjusting going on.
Well, the first time the intro music came through really, really loud on my headphones, so I pulled them off just because it was really loud on my ears.
Okay.
And then just now I had an itch.
Ah.
So I had to... I couldn't scratch
the difficulties of recording a podcast.
My ears itch.
So, listeners, if you ever want to make a podcast of your own, keep these handy tips in mind. All righty. Welcome back, Andy.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Doing well?
More or less, yeah.
I was hoping I was going to get somebody to say I'm doing good, because I was going to bust out the Tracy Morgan line I watched on 30 Rock recently, where somebody says, I'm doing good. Tracy Morgan goes, Superman does good. You're doing well. Learn your grammar, son.
Well, what if I said I am doing good and I meant I was doing good?
Oh, like you were out leaping tall buildings and rescuing people? And...
Well, we rescued another puppy a couple months ago.
Oh, well, you are doing good then.
Yeah.
Look at you.
How many animals do you have now?
We have four total.
Oh, that's okay.
It's not quite zoo level yet.
But you have
all rescues, but...
Two and two?
Yes.
Okay.
Two cats, two dogs.
Two cats, two dogs.
Yeah, once you get over three of any one thing...
We've had
you're crazy whatever person.
It immediately bloats to many more, and you become the crazy animal person.
We have had as many as five cats at one time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy cat people. Yeah. I once lived in a zoo. Between me and my three roommates, there were two ferrets, two cats... A bunch of rats, multiple hamsters, a goldfish. I think that was it.
We did own fish for a while, but I think over three fish is no longer, that doesn't classify as crazy.
No, fish are okay.
Yeah. Like if you have more than three
and
fish
by the way,
tanks,
those rats were caged rats. Those weren't just rats running around the apartment, for the record.
But no, you're right. With fish, it's you count in number of aquariums.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Fish aren't really pets. They're like artwork.
Moving artwork.
Yeah, they're living art.
It's just like having a digital picture frame, right?
Sure.
The worst I ever experienced was when I lived with my sister, who had three dogs and two cats, and I brought my two cats, and so we had three dogs and four cats. But that was it. And the dogs lived outside, so that...
That's a little crazy. That's a little too many animals.
Yeah.
Our dogs go outside for their business, and then we'll take them for walks.
We've been letting Denny up on the couch this week, because we made him stay at doggy day camp.
Oh, so now you're...
Doggy day and night camp for 5 days.
So now he's getting
for
special...
For the first time in his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's getting special privileges now?
He came home, I don't know, he must not have slept there. because of all the other dogs barking or whatever.
Right.
And he's so nervous anyway that, he slept for 36 hours.
Wow.
When he got home. Yeah. So we felt kind of bad. So we put the blanket on the sofa and we're like, poor Danny. Come on up.
I will say my wife, but at the same time, sort of me as well. We're not at the point where we feel comfortable boarding. So if at this point, trips for the two of us are either we both go with the dogs and we find some place that is dog friendly, or we only take a trip at a time. So either she goes somewhere or I go somewhere.
Which is all part of your negotiations to do Gen Con next year.
To do Gen Con and Dragon Con.
Got to work that all out.
Yeah.
We couldn't do that this time because we had to stay at a particular hotel, you know, for a wedding.
Right.
Where the reception was. And I mean, I guess we could have found another hotel in the area that allowed a dog, but 15 hours in the car. I'm not sure that would have been a first for him too.
We drug ours in the car. We give them each half a pill, and they knock out for about 12 hours. It's easier on them too because they panic so much.
Kitty cat knockout juice.
No, this is for the dogs.
Okay. Well, I've done that for
puppy dog knockout juice.
I've done that for the cats when I moved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Across country, but see that he's got that wound on his foot.
Where'd that come from?
From doggy day camp. So he's not going back there.
Was it like a nervous thing that he was chewing on his leg, or
we don't know. It was scabbed over when we got him back, and then now the scab's fallen off.
Okay.
Wow. It's healing, but still, you know, you give your dog to somebody and pay them $40 a night and your dog comes back injured and exhausted.
All done with that.
Yeah, that's not
kind of like, F you.
It's like dropping your kid off at daycare and when they pick him up in the afternoon, he's missing an eye or something.
Whoa! Denny's got a little cut. He got scraped a little. Missing an eye. That went dark.
That was a leap. Yeah.
Says the guy with no kids.
Or pets.
Somebody has not learned to not run with pencils.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so
how about we talk about something nerdy?
Thank you for joining us today on Pet Burger.
Oh,
sorry, I don't eat meat.
Did you eat that stroganoff?
You know, we didn't. It is still, in fact, we mentioned it we actually were talking about it last night. The problem is it asks for milk and we never have milk in the house because we don't drink dairy milk. So we're going to have to go out specifically and get dairy milk. And she reminded us like, hey, don't forget we've got this. So, oh shit. We need to get milk for that. So,
okay. Well, enjoy it because the reason it was on clearance is because they discontinued it.
I feel maybe I shouldn't eat it at all.
You have a collector's item. Is it mint in box?
It's in its original packaging.
Put that up on eBay in about 10 years.
I bought the last three boxes on the internet for about, with shipping and everything. Geez, really? They cost me about $8.50 a box.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are a sucker.
I know. It's good. It's good stuff.
Now I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't. I do need to keep it pristine in boxes. Need to go get a shrink wrap or something.
What you can do is you can sit on it for about a year. I'll wait till he uses up theirs. And then sometime for like Christmas, I'll buy it back off of you.
Okay.
And I'll give it to them as a Christmas gift.
Oh, that sounds like nice.
Mike will be like, oh my goodness, look what Craig got us for Christmas.
Yeah, I'll forget that you said this too, and it'll be a surprise.
Okay.
Moving along.
Did we briefly mentioned Labyrinth a little while back? The movie.
The David Bowie movie?
Yes, and David Bowie's crotch. I want you guys to take a look at this. We'll put this up on the website as well. Mike, you can describe it. Into the microphone.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's some pretty impressive costuming.
Yeah, I see that.
Wow. That's quite impressive.
Wait, does he have a big lump in his crotch? The little kid there?
He's a little kid. You don't ask that. The point is, David Bowie's character is like, he's the little kid in the family, the boy. He's got the crazy hair and the vest and the little contact juggling sphere ball.
Let's make a point that right after Mike has mentioned what is stuffed in the little boy's pants,
whoa,
Craig is making a air gesture with his hand.
Okay.
Like a cupping gesture. No. Moving his fingers That's back and forth. Right.
I'm going to go home.
Do you have a hernia?
And the daughter's dressed in like the white gown, and she's got a little doll in the red and white striped outfit. And what's the name of the little dude that rode the dog, the little swashbuckling puppet guy?
I've never seen the movie.
I haven't either.
Oh, I was sure you had seen it. Anyway, check it out on the website. It's a family that did a really kick-ass Labyrinth costume. Like a whole bunch of different characters. So then I could use the riddle from the movie. The two faces, that one always lies and one always tells the truth, and you have to figure out between the two of them which way to go by asking them questions.
Sure.
Mike's just going, well, I don't know. Okay, never mind. Whatever. Moving on.
That'll make
Mike,
sense to
what do you
our
have
listeners.
Prepared? Tough guy?
I'm prepared to talk about all of the things that you two want to talk about.
Jeez.
Except for Labyrinth, because you didn't tell me about that ahead of time.
I wanted to spring the photo on you. I mean, it doesn't get quite the same reaction if I send it to you beforehand.
It doesn't get quite the same reaction as to some people who might have seen the movie either.
Yeah, that's true.
I've not seen it, but I have
like,
seen
was
numerous...
there a dog in Labyrinth?
Well, you know what? Watch the movie.
Puppy animal thing.
And yes. So anyway.
Labyrinth GIFs are all over on Tumblr, so that's the only reason I recognize what the pictures are.
My computer's fixed.
Yay.
I've got up Windows 7 now. I'm very happy.
Yay.
I had to reconstruct my soundboard, but other than that, I'm fine.
You reconstruct it because the program you used was no longer available?
No, because it's in PowerPoint, and when I've got the little buttons that I press, little icons that I press to get the different sounds, it goes to where I keep my music.
Which is in
into
a
subfolder, which is in a completely
now.
Different directory, you know, a run of directories in Windows 7 than it was in XP. So I had to relink everything. I've only done one soundboard so far. I'll do the other one this week.
Okay.
But I can do things like this.
Oakley doakley doo.
And this. Well done.
I got your back.
Well, you always do. You got your own little sound board over there on your
and
phone.
I can see more buttons on the screen now because it's bigger.
A bigger screen. Oh. All right. Andy, what's up with Sleepy Hollow? A little bit of Sleepy Hollow.
Sure. Okay. Have you been watching it, Mike?
No, I believe I answered that in the email.
But for the listeners, God, you're extra dick today.
I didn't recall your answer. I'm sorry.
Why? No, that is not one of the things I prepared, as I originally told you earlier in the week.
Okay. Actually,
I'm familiar with.
Concerned from watching previews and just kind of what it looked like, that it was just basically going to be some sort of a police procedural with the supernatural, you know, Headless Horseman thing wrapped around it. And there's plenty of those shows.
Oh, absolutely. I actually had been originally afraid to watch it because I said, all right, it's on Fox. Because
it's
so going to
be too scary.
Standard. No.
You were afraid to watch it. Oh, my goodness. He has no head.
Because it's on Fox, and you know, and the four major networks never do anything really. You know, they play it nice and safe, and it's all Aaron Spelling and reality TV type of garbage. So I was expecting something more like Charmed. As I was telling Craig earlier, I was expecting something more like Charmed, but it ended up with something more like Supernatural. They do butcher the mythology a little bit, but actually quite entertaining show. I would recommend it. We've been really enjoying it.
And it's not a procedural so much. Is it like there's a new supernatural thing to deal with each week and
sort
Ichabod,
of.
Ichabod Crane is involved?
Sort of. They do deal with sort of something new every week, but there is also a full season long or more story that goes over the top of it all.
So you're enjoying it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have been enjoying it quite a bit. I'm sad to say because I never would have predicted this, but I am actually enjoying Sleepy Hollow more than I am enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been off to, I think, a slow start. I'm giving Whedon, obviously, a lot of slack because it takes him a while to build his characters.
Well, he created it and wrote and directed the first episode, but he's not involved as a showrunner day-to-day, I don't believe.
I thought he was, Jed is at least significantly part of it, though, is he not?
I think Jed and his wife are. Right. Marissa Tancheron, however that's pronounced.
But I know they take a little bit of time to build their characters up, so I'm expecting that it will get better, but I found it to be a little flat so far.
It's had its moments. I really liked the pilot. Have you watched it, Mike?
I didn't even know it was a TV show until like a week ago.
Jeez.
Thought it was another movie.
I really enjoyed the pilot. I thought it was pretty slick. It looked a lot like a movie. It had really good production value, I thought. I like Agent Coulson. He's an interesting character.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, well, now we get a glimpse of all these new characters. But now we're a couple more episodes in, and I'm just kind of like, you know.
Coulson, wait, so this is a prequel to what the movie? The
no,
it's not a prequel. It's an ongoing.
It's the Marvel Universe, Mike.
Yeah. It's what Coulson does. It's what Coulson does with S.H.I.E.L.D. when he is not interacting with the Avengers.
But it is post Avengers.
Yeah.
But he's alive.
Yes.
Yes.
Interesting.
That's one of the mysteries that they set up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Clark Gregg.
You have to watch the show, but they do talk about that.
They mention it in every episode so far.
That's right.
They make a hint toward what's the deal with Coulson being alive. Well, I'm guessing this is going to be like it's going to be the big reveal at the end of the first season.
It's not just what's it with him being alive. If you noticed, every single time he says Tahiti, it's a magical place. Every single time.
Because the story in the show goes that he was injured very, very, very badly. His heart stopped for a few seconds, but they were able to bring him back. Nick Fury sent him to Tahiti for a couple of days, and now he's back.
Hmm.
And whenever they mention Tahiti, he says it's a magical place. Hmm. Almost like he's reciting it.
Right.
Like it's part of a programming thing. Like he's had something done to his
brain. Sort
of
like the dollhouse. Did I fall asleep for a little while? Shall I go now?
So we don't know. Yeah. Was he resurrected via some sort of magical thing? Is he, what's the life model duplicate? There's a like term in the Marvel Universe for, because like Tony Stark has them. It's even mentioned in the Avengers movie at one point where you have like
a doppelganger,
a clone sort of robotic clone type thing. Well, we don't know if this is even, maybe the real Coulson did die. Maybe this is a clone of him
like
or another
like
version.
A simulacra or
something.
Something like
yeah.
That?
Okay. Who knows? They'll answer it at some point, but I imagine it'll take a while. But he's fun. He's a good character. The other characters are the problem. I'm just like, they're kind of flat for the most part. Yeah. I'm waiting for them
Have they introduced anyone named Christine that he gets to interact with?
Christine?
Yeah, because that's where I know him from. We've had this discussion, haven't we?
And what I've seen so far
I'm shaking my head.
He was on New Adventures with old Christine.
I have never watched a single episode.
Louis-Dreyfus. Well, I'm married, and therefore I've seen them all.
Okay, fair enough.
It was one of my coworkers. We were talking about that, about how he couldn't get past the fact that that Robin Sparkles was on the bridge of the ship.
Oh,
you know, like the second in command.
She's in the pilot episode.
Really?
Yeah, she makes an appearance. She's at the beginning and at the end again.
Yeah, well, he pointed that out, and I pointed out how I couldn't get past a Coulson.
And a bona fide movie star makes an appearance at the end of the second episode.
Yes.
Nick Fury shows up.
Yes, he does.
To chew Coulson out over something. It gets all up in his grill. And kind of
does he tell him to go the F to sleep?
No. But the shtick they've got going for the show, too, is that when they end... when they close out the last act, before they do the tag, after the commercials, they always Coulson says, you know, agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will return after this commercial break or whatever, and they're advertising it as watch to the end.
Yeah,
and the tag always has something really interesting in it. So, yeah, don't stop watching.
Okay,
it's kind of like the Easter eggs at the end of the credits on movies. That, you know,
which they've done with all of the Avenger movies.
Right.
So
you have to go to the very end of all the movies to see everything. Otherwise, you know, like Avengers,
even if it's just the shawarma scene at the end of
that
Avengers.
That was what really irritated me. So
I love shawarma.
When we went to see the Avengers in the theater, and there was a little extended scene in the credits, and so that where they're going back to, and now I'm blanking on the alien's name.
Right. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Thanos. Right. So they went to that. And so I said, okay, well, that's the thing. Right. And so we left.
And then
I get online and people are like, oh, the shawarma scene was awesome. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Anybody who's dug around on it too knows that if you watch the shawarma scene, the actor who plays
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans is kind of got his back kind of to you and his hand over his face.
Yeah.
He's kind of leaning down like he's tired.
He's got some kind of mask on because he's got facial hair.
Right, right. Well, because he was growing a beard out for another part when they shot that, because they shot that like months later.
Right. So they had to put a mask on. He doesn't move or anything like that.
He just sits there.
But he's got some kind of mask on the lower part of his face because he's growing his beard out. Supposedly that was only added to the movie like a week before it was actually released.
Which is why it was so, the whole beard thing, you know, it was months later. So what are you watching now, Mike?
New stuff?
Anything. Except, we got a thing we're going to talk about at the end.
What?
Yes, Andy, we're recording again.
We paused to check. We paused to do a sound check, and then I never heard that we had started back up again.
Sorry, we should help cue...
Maybe there needs to be a light.
No, we won't.
Like Jim learned.
Jim went on for 15 minutes before he realized we had started recording.
Well, we were always recording. Once we hit the record button, it's recording, and then we snip out the stuff that we don't want to use.
Yeah.
The sound check breaks and things. Anyway, yes, we got the Breaking Bad thing. We're going to talk about that at the end. But what are you watching now? What's the wife making you watch? Anything that you're digging? Or what are you watching of your own choice? Wow, you just got nothing today. He's just staring into space.
I'm trying to think what...
I don't watch television anymore. Breaking Bad's over. It's not worth watching television ever again.
That's pretty much what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm like, God, I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, we'll talk about this later, but I've been watching Breaking Bad still.
Yeah, I went back and watched more over and over.
Yeah. No, I mean, the stuff that she watches isn't nerd burger worthy.
Have you been watching How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah. Big Bang Theory. Yeah, sure. All that stuff that started up.
Well, how are you digging that? They're doing kind of a different thing. The whole season takes place over the course of 2 days.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah, the whole thing is going to be...
God, it's kind of going slow.
No. Oh, get ready. It's going to go really slow because the wedding moments are going to be in the last episode of the season or near it.
I didn't know that they were doing that.
Yeah, they got that whole set at that, you know... Farhampton place that they're supposedly at.
Farhampton.
But they can do all the flashbacks so they can still utilize the apartments and things like that. But yeah, the whole show is going to be set over those 2 days because it's got to begin with them all getting together. And by the end, Ted has to meet the mother.
Yeah.
And we know that she's on her way there.
With her yellow umbrella.
Yes. And he's like, whatever you say.
You don't watch that one either?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But it's interesting because the show usually, you know, week to week, it's like time passes for the characters. Right. Whereas in this one, it's a wedding, the weekend of a wedding, and the whole season is going to be just that weekend. So you've got a lot of recurring characters, like Barney's brother is in every other episode because he's at the wedding.
I've seen episodes here and there,
but I haven't followed it. I mean, I know the premise, and I do see episodes from time to time. But
so they're building up toward it.
Oh, watched American Horror Story Coven last night.
Oh, baby. I watched it this morning.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good. Now, I did have one complaint.
One? Okay. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't mean it like that because the American Horror Story series is very
not
good.
Not enough male characters?
No.
There's a lot of ladies in this one. Yeah, that's fine.
I think it's great.
Too many big movie stars?
There was just one detail, and Craig, as the professional storyteller, will tell me, you got to do that. But I sort of thought it felt a little, it felt inserted, I guess. And that was where the four girls are at the dinner table and they're talking about their powers.
Oh, yeah.
And how you very quickly learn what all their powers are.
I'm a living voodoo doll. Mm-hmm. We all know you're a precognition.
Yeah, they had to communicate that information really quickly.
I know, and I just thought I would have really liked to have just had them...
Let it be a mystery and slowly do what they do.
See her stab her hand and see the other girl, you know, complain.
Yeah, they didn't need to explain.
But
they didn't even need to do it right away anyway. I mean, they could have made it a plot device to introduce the power later.
Okay, real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
From here on out, probably pretty much everything we're going to talk about is going to be some amount of spoilers on one show, one season, or another. So, if we start talking about a show and you go, I want to watch that, skip forward until we're not talking about that show anymore.
Yeah, that made me, I was like, they didn't really need, I think we, number one, we could have figured it out that's sort of what was going on when you see what the various girls are doing, you can sort of say, oh, I bet it's sort of something like, but then for them to just announce them.
Or even better, they could have let each one be revealed. Yeah, have them all do their thing. Have the precognitive girl say something about something that's going to happen. And then after a few episodes of her saying things like that, you figure out, okay, she can see the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the voodoo girl who can hurt herself to hurt you. Have her do that a couple of times.
Right.
Even seeing it, you would be like...
To realize that she's not hurting herself. She's hurting the other person.
Right.
Like they did with the main character, where you didn't really realize what her power was until the last scene.
Yeah. Well, you sort of...
You saw it in the first scene.
Yeah.
But you didn't know specifically what it was. And then when she went and...
Yes.
Got the comatose dude all up and ready and jumped on top of him and...
Killed him with her vagina.
Killed him with sex. Not with her vagina. That's a movie called Teeth.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that part of... That,
they could
that
have left
little
that...
bit of the script, I think they should... Those lines should have just been left out.
I agree.
They could have left that be something that was developed a little bit better. But other than that, it was fine.
Maybe they sped through it like that because they've got so much else to show us and to tell us that they just couldn't fit it in.
And
I don't think they needed to fit it in at all. The whole scene was fine. It was the lines that
the way
the explanation
they were very on the nose. They were on the nose. Right. They were in what storytellers refer to as all text, no subtext. The dialogue was on the nose. It told you exactly what it meant. There was nothing underneath it.
No.
She's telling you, "I'm a voodoo girl." That's what she's saying. She's not alluding to something else. She's explaining things for you.
The point Craig and I are both making is that they didn't even need to do it at all. They could have just let them.
They could have trusted their audience
to figure it out.
To figure it out in a couple
because
episodes.
We're smart.
Absolutely. No, the scene where they're doing those things to each other, I think, was fine. You know, to see her stab her hand with the fork and have the other girl bleed. That was fine, but she didn't need to yell out, "I'm a living voodoo doll."
Yeah.
I'm saying they definitely didn't need to have her say that line.
Right.
But also they could have done it without that scene. They could have just had it happen one thing at a time over a couple of episodes and let us figure it out.
It didn't have to be all of them together in that scene.
No. That whole scene is just is smacking us in the face with it.
Yes.
But specifically, that one line pissed me off.
So they dropped the ball. So they dropped the ball on us, 80-second scene over the course of a 42. Well, longer than that. It was like a 50-minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
And once again, some people are unrecognizable. Took me a minute or two to realize that Spalding, the stringy haired.
Yeah. That's the guy that was half burned.
That's the burned guy because they took him out of the makeup, and I was like, "Is that him? Well, I can't tell. All the hair's in the way."
Yeah.
Oh no, that's him. That's Dennis Lear. Dennis
O'Hare.
O'Hare.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. Okay, cool. Now, he's got some other... Are they going to just mutilate him in a different way and each time he's on the show? Because the first season, he's burned horribly. The second season, he's apparently got his tongue cut out. He's mute.
That's right, he was.
Third season, right.
He wasn't in the second season.
I thought he had a one or two episode.
He may have been.
I think he,
he might have
I
had
think
like
he was a,
a
patient. I think he was a patient.
That's true, he might have.
Two, a background patient.
Kind of like... And I don't remember anybody's name, but the blonde young nun that was
Lily
possessed.
Raid.
Yes, thank you. Had a little bit part in this first episode.
Yes.
Oh, but she's in the opening credits. So
she's a main character in this season.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I was mentioning brief. We'll recount it here while we were waiting
because they killed her character. So
well, no. Here's what happened. They introduce a character who gets killed in a flashback. who was killed like a week ago or whatever, who is said to be able to bring people back from the dead. Mm-hmm. Gee, I wonder if she's coming back from the dead because she's in the opening credits.
Oh, okay.
And they kill off another character who's in the opening credits. I wonder how long it's going to be before he comes back from the dead.
And I was telling Craig that if you watched the ending part of the show where they sort of do the preview for the entire season, the little flashes of preview,
yeah,
you do find out how they bring him back.
Yes, okay. You do find out. No,
I don't watch that crap. Oh, no, okay. No spoilers.
All right.
Not on that show. No way.
Except here for I am, our audience.
Here I am spoiling the crap. Well, if they're listening, it's their own fault. But no, I don't watch. I don't go digging for anything. I've decided, yeah. Because I learned something, or at least had the seed of something put in my head during the first season that ruined a moment in the first season that would have been otherwise very powerful,
yeah,
that I hadn't thought of. And somebody stuck it out there on a forum, and I was like, oh, that might be. And then it happened to be
the case. Which piece of the first season?
Okay, spoilers on the first season.
At this point, if nobody has seen the first season, then...
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
Tough.
Yeah. We're still in spoiler. We're still in spoiler.
I was reading speculation, you know, people talking about what they think might be going on in the house and everything, and somebody said, I think Violet died when she committed suicide. I think she's a ghost now. And I hadn't put that together in my head.
They never showed her actually leave the house.
Until, you know, like a couple episodes, you know, then it was like an episode later where she tries to run out of the yard and she can't.
Yeah.
But I had that moment kind of spoiled for me in the. So well, now when, I don't go to boards on this show. I don't go nothing. I just like
when she was
I'm a horror fan too much. I want to see. I want to just let it.
Yeah. When she was running out of the house and she couldn't run out of the house,
she kept reappearing in the back door.
I had the assumption when I was watching that Evan Peters or the house was not letting her leave, as in, you know,
me too.
But not that she was not that she was dead and couldn't leave.
I didn't
leave,
realize
but
that she
was
dead until she did.
Right. No. I didn't either. I didn't pick up on that until when the show revealed
and
it is when I realized.
I might have been in the same place as you if I had not read that speculation. Because the speculation was that, you know what, we've not seen her out of the house in like three episodes.
She doesn't go to school anymore.
She never goes to school. They're playing it off as she's too depressed to go to school. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. But she never leaves the house. There's one time she almost goes with her dad, and then she doesn't. And then it was like that next episode was where it was revealed that she couldn't get out of the yard. And I was like, okay, there you go. She is, in fact, dead. And then as soon as you realize that the two of them can actually have sex, because he couldn't. He was impotent when she was alive. Tate.
Was he really?
He was a ghost. He was off, you know, pardon the terminology, but he was raping the mother in the black latex suit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he could get it up, but he couldn't get it up for her while she was alive.
Oh, I missed that completely.
I did
and
too.
Then once she died, that's when they started having sex.
Hmm.
There's a scene on the beach. I rewatched the first season recently. There's a scene on the beach where... Or maybe it wasn't the beach one, but it's in that same episode. It's like the Halloween episode where the dead kids come back.
To leave.
Mm-hmm. Right, where he's allowed to leave.
Well, both of them, because isn't she dead?
She's
at that
not
point?
Dead yet.
She's not dead yet. Okay.
But early on, there's a point where he's, you know, he can't get it going, and she's kind of like, "Well, that's okay." You know, the whole scene that always happens. But then later on, he's
the
all
lie, I don't know
the,
about that.
The lie that all women it. Tell.
Yeah. Mike. Well, I don't know about that. You manly man, you. So, yeah, they're just not going to, the writers of that show are just not going to let those two crazy kids have a decent relationship, are they?
No.
First season, he can't get it up for her while she's alive. Then she dies and is depressed. And then he turns into like jealous, rage-filled guy when he realizes what he's done. And he ends up being kind of a bad guy by the end of it all. And now in this season, we know that, well, they can't do it or she'll kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something about that. So, because you didn't see the.
Stop
you didn't
talking!
See it, so, let's. You didn't see it. So, hold on to that.
Well.
But at the same time, you're.
We would like to continue talking about American Horror Story for you, the audience. However, Craig, you're going to have to leave.
Well,
the
no,
room.
I just. Fine, I'm gone. I'm out of here.
You could stay. You could stay.
Hey, I'll come back. I'll sit down.
I did like that they put the two of them together, at least in the first episode, and had that spark, because I thought that the two actors had good chemistry the first time around.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're capitalizing on that by saying these two do really well together. They're comfortable with each other, you know. So and I I was glad to mm-hmm. see them do that because that was good for the two of them.
Well, I think that the real kicker was they had to play. They kind of played the moment of fall in love at first sight
mm-hmm.
with each other, which that you can only, I would think you can sell that better if you actually kind of know the person and you've acted with them. They spent an entire season kind right. of being boyfriend, girlfriend.
Right.
So they know each other well enough and they're comfortable enough to be that kind of emotionally raw where he really sold. I mean, I think he in particular, Evan Peters blows me away every time I see him on that show. He's really good. Mm-hmm. He really sells that like he's just awestruck in love with her the moment he sees her. Mm-hmm. Of course, she wears those big clunky heels. Did you notice that when they had her walking around in the house?
Yeah.
When she first got there, she had like high heel shoes, mm-hmm. but they're big, fat, thick high heels.
Those are called heels. Wedges.
Whatever. If she's going to be running from danger, she needs to wear some different shoes.
Yeah.
Because there's a point where she's like running down the street after the bus and she's like got a tight dress on and horrible heels. And it's like, yeah, you're not going to get away from any witch hunters in that outfit, lady. You better change your wardrobe before the real crap hits the fan. So, and Kathy Bates is pretty awesome. She's rocking it. Her fancy dress.
Yep. Getting dug up alive after 200 years.
That was fun.
Well, we obviously know what Jessica Lange's motivation is going to be with Kathy Bates, since obviously Jessica Lange is looking for, I want my...
Fountain of Youth.
I want my immortality, and you've clearly figured it out, yep. So...
Right. She was the character who was obsessed with it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
In the flashbacks. I was expecting
some slave
there to be
pancreas.
Yeah, cut some pancreas out of people while they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Mush it up, smear it on your face, on your waddle.
Oh, jeez. Look at this waddle. Is that what she says?
Yeah.
They did a little bit of the digital de-aging of Jessica Lange, too, at the end there.
And then almost immediate re-aging.
And then, immediately making her wrinkly again.
So that's all the longer a person's soul lasts, keeps her fresh looking? Just like 5 seconds?
I wonder if they're going to bring Elizabeth Bathory into the show.
Which one was she?
I had a...
She is the countess who slaughtered virgin women and bathed in their blood to retain her beauty. And if there's going to be
not somebody from
a reference,
episode,
if there's going to be a reference to her,
okay, I know you're
historically because they've done that before, where they did the Anne Frank thing last season,
right?
And they referenced the Roanoke colony in the first season. They might bring in like the idea that Bathory was like the first witch who tried to do the Forever Young thing, and that's how she did it, and that's all part of the blood magic that they're doing now. I have a feeling that if it doesn't show up, it's clearly that's kind of where they're getting the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, she was a nut job.
You think?
Yeah, she sliced people open and bled them into her bathtub and sloshed around in it because she wanted to be young.
So did that actually work?
No, she's dead. she aged and died. Because, that was just...
Surprise!
That wasn't magic. That was just disgusting. Yeah. Surprise, yeah. Or she didn't know the right rituals or something. I mean, she did something wrong, clearly. If there is a way to keep yourself young.
Put that on your waddle and tighten it.
Episode title.
Wow. Let's see what else has been floating around. Yeah, just some of the basic stuff that I've been watching. Shows that are back. I haven't really gotten into too much new stuff other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which apparently I'm going to have to start watching on demand now.
Yeah. I'm hoping that it gets, it's like you said, it's slow. Hopefully it'll get better. See what happens.
I have to go to a a different television when Scandal in Nashville are being watched.
Because your wife doesn't, because you want to watch it and your wife doesn't want to be around that stuff?
No.
Yeah, like that, but in the opposite.
The other
direction.
Way. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
She watches Scandal in Nashville, and I don't. So I.
Well, Nashville's got Connie Britton in it, if you liked her from American Horror Story.
And the cheerleader. What can't
Hayden
get injured?
Panettiere or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky I don't have to watch either of those.
Yeah.
I do have to watch Project Runway and Fashion Police.
So what's new on Project Runway?
Let's see. They're going to Fashion Week. No, they've whittled it down to four.
I don't care. Nah.
You don't even know what any of that means.
No, I have no clue. I think that's great that you know, though. Mm-hmm. It makes you a well-rounded individual.
Watched that last night after we watched American Horror Story.
Oh, so that's what you had in your head before you went to bed. I suppose that's better than having an American Horror Story in your head before you go to sleep.
Yeah. Although, Tim Gunn, who is the mentor, he's very tall.
I know who he is,
Silver-haired gay man. He kind of talks like this, looks over his glasses at you, says, make it work, designers. Apparently.
Every time you do that voice, you sound like somebody from South Park.
Okay. Yeah, it's the same voice.
Yeah.
I guess he shows up in the, you know, with the designers to talk to them, and his face is all fucked up. He's like, I had a little accident with some subway stairs, and he's like got a big puffy purple lip, and there's some giant scar on his forehead with stitches. It's like Frankenstein.
Wow.
Like, wow, they didn't even try to cover that up at all with a bandage. You're just like, here, look at my awesome bright red scar with these black stitches across it on my forehead.
That'll have people talking, right?
Yeah. Did you see Tim Gunn? Like, kind of like we're doing now. On Nerdburger, of all places.
Gah, we're running out of stuff to talk about. This is what happens when you don't prep stuff, Mike. And I understand that you didn't have time. Things happened this morning, but... Mm. Maybe you should prep stuff the day before rather than the hour before.
When we start getting paid for this, I'll start prepping.
Wow. More than okay. Well, no prep ever. Yeah.
It's a good trade off though, because you know she has to leave the room when I'm watching Doctor Who.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's not a big Doctor Who fan, and she's extremely unhappy that Matt Smith is leaving.
What?
Huh?
Why does she care?
Because he's cute.
But she doesn't watch Doctor Who. Anyway.
She will watch it over my shoulder when he was on because she found him to be very cute and charming.
Yeah, I think he's kind of funny looking.
I think it was the hair.
Can you tell me what they looked like? Well, there was one bigger guy and then the shorter guy who was kind of funny looking. Can you describe how he was funny looking? Just kind of in a regular way or something like that.
But then she saw
they're doing a TV series of Fargo.
No.
No, it's not going to be like the retelling of the story.
Who's they?
The Coen brothers.
Really?
Or they sold it to some rights to somebody, yeah. But no, it's going to be like, it's going to be a miniseries-ish type thing, I think, that's going to be set in that world, but not starring the characters.
Oh.
You know, it's going to be full of the Minnesota nice people. And it's going to have, you know, there's going to be a police investigation of some sort, and it's going to be an extension of that world, I guess.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk's going to be in it.
Oh, yeah, he's busy.
Playing a deputy. Bunch of other people. Billy Bob Thornton, I think, is going to be in it, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a crime involving stamp designers.
Well, everybody needs those 2-cent stamps whenever they raise the prices.
That's right.
Thanks, Margie. Good night. It's the movie Fargo. Go see it. Go watch it. It's probably on Netflix.
I'm sure it is.
But it looks like we're going to lose Andy because you've got to head out.
Yeah.
We got started a little late and Andy has things to do, places to be.
And you guys are going to be talking Breaking Bad, of which I will have nothing to contribute.
Okay. So thank you for showing up again.
In case in the future you decide you actually want to watch it, it won't be spoiled for you.
Well, you know, to be perfectly honest, I've read most of the Wikipedia article on the show.
So. That's the best way to enjoy a TV show.
That's the best way to enjoy one of the best television shows ever, is to just read the Wikipedia article.
It's just a way to satisfy some of my curiosity. Like, does this seem like something I would want to watch?
You know what another way to satisfy your curiosity is? Watch the effing show.
Wikipedia article took 10 minutes to read.
As opposed to, 62 hours? To
whatever it is, yeah. All right, well, anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I'll see you in December.
Yes, he's scheduled again for December. I'll see you next weekend.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, Andy's gone.
And we're back without Andy to talk about this. Ooh.
Spectacularly.
Hey, Dexter makers, this is how you end a show.
Yeah, we complained about that already.
Okay, we're done with that. I'm over it because we had a great ending. Sounded like you said you watched like the last three episodes three times.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I did. And I wish that I'd kept, and I don't know the name of it, but the fourth to last episode, the one.
Right.
The one that sets up Ozymandias.
Right. So, let's go.
Well,
the general comment that it was very, very good.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Extremely satisfied.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm right there with you.
And the more I watch it, the more satisfied I am. And you know what? Actually, what they said that they liked, everybody was like, oh, Ozymandias is the best episode of Breaking Bad. And then the rest of it just kind of wraps everything up.
It's denouement.
Right. I think the final, Felina is better than, I'm enjoying it better than Ozymandias on a repeated viewing.
Sure.
Because Ozymandias is all about the shock of, you know, these things that happen.
And yeah, it's something big happens. Well, we can talk about it, spoilers and all that.
Oh.
Spoilers. Hank gets killed.
Yeah, Hank's dead.
And then the whole episode is
along
just
with Gomi.
Along is just a spiral
craziness
in the third to last episode. And then the second and to last and the final one are
it's
the wrap up of all of that.
It's tense. It's adrenaline sapping. It's emotionally draining. I mean, you're exhausted when you're done watching Ozymandias. And you don't get that on like the second time you watch it.
No, because you know right. everything.
You know what's going to happen. So,
because I mean, when the first time you watch it, you're wondering, well, geez, what's Walt going to do with the baby? And
what's going to happen during this knife fight? Because
somebody's going to get stabbed. I'm just waiting for Walt Jr. to try to wade in, and
mom
turns around with a knife and stabs her own kid in the gut or something. I was waiting for it.
Oh yeah, because
for her to get stabbed.
Because you know they'll do anything.
Yes, and that's the beauty of it was that Vince Gilligan and company have managed to turn things on its ear enough times and take a sharp left turn.
That you never know what's coming.
That they can even have, like most shows would have a knife fight between a husband and wife. Nobody'd get stabbed. And in this one, there's a knife fight between a husband and wife and nobody gets stabbed. But you're thinking any moment somebody could end up with a knife in their neck.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't put it past it.
No, not at all.
So, good stuff.
Very good. Oh, and I loved, even though Granite State was kind of like the in-between of those three.
Right.
You know, it's...
Well, it was in-between.
And it was a little slower. Robert Forster, holy crap. Love him.
I want to be relocated by that guy and have him come and play cards with me for $10,000 an hour.
While he sticks me with my chemo.
Yeah. And just, you know, guy comes in for one episode, great character actor, knocks it out of the park. Yeah. Great role. A role that I didn't think we were going to get to see.
Since Mike's been gone.
Well, we've never, you know, every time that somebody's gotten close to using that service.
The vacuum cleaner guy specifically.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd necessarily see him. I thought maybe we'd like Walt would be there on the corner. The car would pull up in the next episode.
He'd be in
New Hampshire.
His cabin. Yeah.
But we had a whole run of dealing with this guy and the great moment of, you know, if you come in here one day and I'm dead and that barrel of money's sitting there, can I trust you to give it to my family? And he says, if I told you yes, would you believe me?
Mm-hmm. And that's one more moment in that episode where you see the life draining out of Walt.
Yep.
And it happens repeatedly in that episode up until the final moment when he's on the phone with Walt Jr. And Walt Jr. yells at him and tells him, just die already.
And this time says it and means it.
And means it. And he gives up. And that's it. He's done. He calls the DEA. He leaves the phone off the hook.
And then Gretchen and
Elliot
have to go and
bring Heisenberg back to life. One last hurrah.
I will argue that Heisenberg is dead at that point. If you want to think of him as two different characters, that he switches between Walter White and Heisenberg, and that at different times there's different levels of different characters.
Right.
I think that there's no more Heisenberg at that point. Because Heisenberg would have tried to live. At that point, that's Walter White just taking himself out, finishing up what he has done.
He never has
that Heisenberg moment during the last episode. He just plods ever forward toward what he's planning the inevitable to be.
It's Walter White in all of his personality. It's him and Heisenberg back together again.
Sure. Okay.
Kind of the way we saw him in that flashback to him and Gretchen, what we talked about in a previous episode,
mm-hmm.
trying to calculate the weight of all the, you know, the chemicals in the body and how there's something missing, and that's the soul, and how he's very kind of confident and, you know, the young Walter White.
Right.
And how there's a little bit of Heisenberg, kind of what we see later in him at that moment before he's been defeated and knocked down.
I think there was always a little Heisenberg in Walter.
No, but I think that the final version of Walter White we see is that original version of Walter White back, restored.
Yeah. Okay.
And that episode, now we'll talk about Felina. That's, I mean, the people who were in Walt's corner, man, did they get a good episode, because he wins.
He kind of wins,
but yeah, no, I mean, he accomplishes everything he wants to do.
Well, assuming that
he loses his family, but he's already lost them.
Yeah.
He manages to do everything he wants to do. As he says, when he's sitting in the Volvo and the cops are shining the light,
he prays for him.
He prays. He says, just get me there. I'll do the rest.
Yeah.
And then the keys fall from the visor.
And I've heard people talking about, people don't do that anymore. And it's like, hey, guess what? Go to small town.
That was the first thing I thought of when he got in that car and he started digging in the glove box. I'm like, dude, pull down the visor.
Yeah.
The keys are in the visor.
That's the TV trope.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for people who don't live in a little, I mean, because that was a podunk little town in New Hampshire.
Like a vacuum cleaner guy says, a one-horse town.
Yeah. If you live in places, absolutely. Absolutely. I know people to this day up in Peshtigo don't lock their doors in their home.
We were just talking about that.
Don't lock their doors in their home. Don't lock the doors to their car. Leave the car keys up in the visor. Yep. Happens in small town America all the time.
It does.
And the beauty of it, too, was it all paid off Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
He got lucky again. That guy, he happened to get into the car that you couldn't see into. He picked a car where he couldn't be seen, and he didn't wipe anything off, and then the keys fall out of the visor.
Uh-huh.
He got lucky. He's luckier than you.
Yep.
And he remained lucky right through the end.
Yeah, even though
The Nazis could have shot him at the gate.
Yeah.
They could have forced him to park his car where they said to park the damn car.
And not let him park it where he needed it parked.
They could have not brought Jesse out. You know, he managed to get Jack to get pissed off and get Jesse out there so he could save Jesse once he figured out that Jesse wasn't working with them.
Okay.
That he was working for them.
Since you've skipped ahead to that part. But I don't want to nitpick.
I'm just saying the luckiness factor just kept going for him.
And I'm moving beyond the luckiness thing. But.
Okay.
The contraption in the trunk of the car. Why did the trunk have to open other than for the audience to see what was going on?
It was a convention.
The only thing I could think of was so that the trunk wouldn't fill up with empty shell casings and clog the mechanism.
You put that many rounds through that thing, you're going to fill up a trunk with shell casings. How did you fit all those shell? Anyway.
No, but they're flying, bouncing around all over the place.
It popped open so everybody could see it.
Yeah.
Because
it didn't pop up. It shot right through the fender.
It shot through the side of through the quarter panel of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You know. There has to be some convenience and some coincidence and little things that you have to throw in there just to let everybody see what they want.
When they showed him assembling it, there's a box laying on the desert ground,
mm-hmm.
and it's the thing that the key fob activates, which is an automatic door opener,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little like pneumatic thing, and he's got that set to where it would pull the trigger, because he shows the contraption without the gun on it.
Right, where the thing's rotating back and forth.
With a garage door mechanism.
Right.
So he's got that activating the garage door mechanism and the trigger. So apparently he's also got something activating the trunk popping open. But
whatever. Fine. That's fine. I don't care. Got to see the gun.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Scarface's gun.
Yes. And he wielded
it with remote control.
Everybody got to see his little friend, but he didn't have it in his hands. That was a great moment because Vince Gilligan has said he's turning Mr. Chips into Scarface, mm-hmm. and he does. At the end, it's mowing down a bunch of people with a machine gun.
I love it
in a funky Walt way.
Well, he mowed down everybody but Todd, who Jesse got to take care of.
Well, that was I knew that was coming. That was
poetic. And Jack, who was still alive, trying to. In the exact same position that Hank was with Jack in Ozymandias. And Walt does the same thing, puts the bullet in his head in mid-sentence. Doesn't let him finish his thought.
That's fine. Jack was an a-hole. Yeah. Jack needed to die. I'm glad that he didn't just get mowed down.
Right.
That they actually had a moment with him.
Mm-hmm. And Lydia.
Creepiest thing in that room after all the Nazis got mowed down.
Oh, the massage
dude on the,
chair.
On the massage chair just going up and still down. Moving up and down. Yeah. Dead dude. Ugh. And Lydia, I think everybody kind of saw that coming.
Will, what was it? Bill Hader predicted that on Talking Bad.
Yeah. Well, people online were talking about it like crazy. They show her drinking an awful lot of tea and putting that stevia in there over and over.
I hadn't thought of it until Hader mentioned it, and then it was like, oh, yeah. But that's probably where that's going.
Yep. And that's kind of the worst death of all the people, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's going to just have to sit there and suffer for another day.
And she doesn't think she has the flu anymore.
No.
And
she knows what's going on. She's
going
to die from this. And she's got a kid that she knows she's making an orphan now.
Is she going to call the ambulance? Is she going to go to the hospital and tell them, I've been poisoned by ricin? How do you know? Well, I've been, in business with Walter White.
If she takes Walt at his word, she doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, I guess not.
He's going to die. There's no cure. She's dead.
Yeah.
So she outlives Walt.
By a few hours.
By a day or maybe.
Half a day.
Jesse gets his moment.
Yep.
And his crazy freedom scream at the end. Now he's in Alaska, I assume, by now. Badger and Skinny Pete. Great moment.
Oh, yeah. And you were telling me about the engage hand gesture.
Yeah, he uses the... Walter uses like, the
what was it? Picard's. Imagine the conversation that we didn't see off screen before that scene between Walt and Badger.
Right, well,
when they're discussing
to describe
what,
really
what
quickly,
signal to use.
Yeah, what signal Walter's going to use to get them to shine the pen light or the laser pointers in there to look like the quote unquote two best hitmen west of the Mississippi, which is totally like out of some old western.
Yeah,
but yeah, the conversation that took place that we didn't see, which is where they're arguing about what the signal should be, and Badger has to suggest that Walt does the two-finger engage.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Picard maneuver, well, motion.
Hand gesture.
Because he does. That's the hand gesture that he makes. It's ridiculous.
That scene was,
you know,
was
Mr.
awesome.
White, this is feeling kind of shady, you know, morality-wise.
Yeah.
Hands him $10,000. How's
Each?
It feeling now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm okay. So it was a nice little send-off. The only thing we didn't get to see is we got no Kubi. I would have liked to see like a final scene with Kubi. Do you know who
the
Kubi
ginger
is?
Guy?
Yeah, Kubi, Huel's partner.
Yeah, or Huel.
Well, we saw Huel. Huel got a moment where he was the one who gave up. You know, he was in the motel room.
What happens to Huel, though? Is he still sitting there?
Well, no, that's the joke running online. Because Huel's stupid enough to just sit there and starve to death, which, of course, for a guy that size is going to
take a while.
10 months. But no, my supposition is that Kubi breaks him out of DEA custody and they go on some sort of zany roadshow around the country.
Are they going to get a spinoff too?
They should. They can go around and make sure people get their IRS stuff filed on time. Just bust into your house and play Is Huel Happy?
Threaten you with a throw rug.
Right. See, we're going to have you do your taxes here, right? And all you have to really be thinking to yourself is Huel happy? Who's Huel? He's Huel. Huel, are you happy? Reasonably. That's the moment I fell in love with Kubi and Huel as characters. I got my number two guy or my number one guys on it, and they just totally, through no fault of their own, blow it. The guy practically breaks his neck trying to get away from them. But that reasonably line is what got me.
Yeah.
Like, Huel hadn't spoken it, but are you happy? Reasonably. So no final scene there in the last episode for Junior. Walt just had to watch him from afar.
Yep.
And then he had his final scene with Skylar.
Which you
was
didn't know he was there.
Incredibly well shot with that column in the way.
And Skylar's reflection in the microwave, which they did unintentionally.
Yeah. And where he finally admits that it was all about him.
Yep.
Vince Gilligan better start doing all sorts of TV shows and be showrunning them all and writing them and directing them. The writing and the camera work, again, in this episode, just like all the others, are spectacular.
Well, I recognize... I'm a credit watcher like you.
Mm-hmm.
I pay attention to the names. And as an X-Files fan from long ago, I learned real quickly that those really, really funny episodes, the really clever ones, mm-hmm. were written by this guy named Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
And so.
And now here he is giving us an awesome TV show. He better do another good one. You just, yeah, just do a new show every 5 years. Do a new show.
Or like Jimmy Kimmel on the final episode of Talking Bad. Like, don't even bother. You can't possibly top this. Your career's over.
Just drop the microphone and walk out of Hollywood. There you go. I'm going to go back and rewatch at some point, but I've just let it all stew. I'm good. Very satisfied, like you said.
Are you going to get the barrel?
No.
The DVDs with all the extras?
I don't buy DVDs too often anymore. Once in a while I'll buy something. But too much stuff is available on, you know, for free. TV on demand and Netflix and all that kind of thing.
Well, for free if you already have Netflix.
Yeah. Right. What was your favorite episode of the series?
Oh, I don't know.
Ozymandias? Well, just like a little retrospective. What were your favorites? What were some of the ones that really stuck up? Face Off, last episode of the fourth season. Just because the title of this episode is so on the nose in two ways.
Yeah.
Like
they do.
Yeah.
With their episode titles.
And I don't know the name of all the episodes, but I want to say the episode with the shootout with Hank and the twins.
Yep.
One of the best shootouts ever. Portrayed on television. It was so tense. I mean, I was waiting for Hank to die.
The shopping store parking lot.
Yeah. And pinning the guy between the, because he slams his vehicle, his SUV into
reverse.
Pins him in there and breaks his legs and he's still shooting at him. And ugh, those guys were badass. And yeah, and the crazy stuff that this show has pulled, like just the imagery of, like, you know, when those two guys, what was the deal when they were still in Mexico or they were in the desert out by the Indians or something, and they were crawling. They got out of their car
and
they crawled
cousins?
On their bellies, the cousins, to get to the house, to the little shack. I still don't know exactly what that was supposed to be about. Was that a deference thing for, because they were going there to talk to someone, weren't they? And then that's where they got the picture. They saw the picture of Heisenberg. You finally put it together.
Yeah.
You'd been watching these guys for a few episodes and didn't know where they were going. And then you saw they had a photo of Heisenberg, you know, not a photo, but like a little sketch of Heisenberg,
which is
the hat.
The sketch that
everybody
now.
Sees, right? Yeah. Weird stuff like that.
The one that Hank had ended up in evidence.
Yeah, the Tortuga head on the tortoise.
That was good.
Nanny Trejo.
It's all been so good, it's hard to pick.
Yeah, I just like picking out just stuff where they just went off the rails with something weird, like the tortoise blowing up and... Mm-hmm. And, you know, just
Todd executing Andrea. I didn't really see that coming.
That was rough. Yeah.
And then Jesse's reaction, Aaron Paul's acting in that back seat.
Oh, when he thought he couldn't be in a worse place.
Oh, I know.
That had to be incredibly draining for the actor.
Yeah. And Walt's acting in Felina. And Brian well Cranston's. In Granite and God in all of them, really. I mean but the last three especially. Good God. If they don't get all the Emmys again next year, something's rigged.
Yeah, I agree. Fly, the episode Fly.
Which one?
The entire episode. It's like in the
Is that the one where they're trying to catch the fly in the super lab?
And it's basically one big bottle show. It's like Walt and Jesse almost the entire episode. Mm-hmm. And it's just the two of them talking and you know, dealing with things that they've done and coming to grips with the path that they've taken. One of the best episodes of the show.
The moment where...
And it's just two guys standing around talking in a lab.
Yeah. The moment where Walt is driving with Hank in the Aztec, and Hank is directing him to the laundry. And Walt turns into traffic at the last minute to get out of it.
How many times did Walt try to kill himself on that show or accidentally come close to it? He almost shoots himself in the head in the first episode.
Yeah.
He's ready to commit suicide. He essentially kills himself at the end.
Yep.
He drives into traffic. Let me think. I mean, he was taking his life into his own hands when he made that little bomb in the first season when he made his little chemical explosion. He's fought a couple of guys hand to hand that he could have gotten mowed down early on, especially when he was still kind of a wuss.
Yeah.
When he wasn't handling himself quite as well as he did later. Good stuff.
Yep.
Well, and now it's over and I'm a little sad.
Now we're breaking sad. Alternate episode title.
Maybe. No. Alrighty. So everybody, hope you enjoyed Breaking Bad as much as we did. And
if you haven't seen it, hopefully you're not listening now.
Yeah, I was going to say, where are you going with that? But.
Or you're like Andy and you read it all on Wikipedia.
Lame. So I think that covers it for us.
Yep.
Wrap it up for the week.
Sure.
Thanks again, Andy.
Thanks,
wherever
Andy.
You are. On the road. Maybe home by now. Where can they find us?
NerdBurgerShow.com, at NerdBurgerShow on the Twitters, NerdBurgerShow on Facebook, and email us, NerdBurgerShow@gmail.com.
On the next episode of NerdBurger, Mike and Craig sit down, unwind from wrapping up Breaking Bad, take a little vacation. We travel somewhere and broadcast the episode live from Tahiti.
It's a magical place.
Yes, it is.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
I remembered. Are you
impressed?
I'm really
happy. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm really happy that you said that. Otherwise, I was going to have to.
Aw.
You do listen to me. I'm all warm and fuzzy inside now.
All right, take that somewhere else.